All right, welcome back, everybody. Reed Kerr here with you for readaboutit.com and also for examiner.com. And a little Dexter podcast for you today. First episode of the seventh season was last night. Wanted to talk a little bit about it. Go into a little more depth and talk over some of the things I didn't get a full chance to talk about in my Examiner column from last night. So really excited to have it back. I've been a fan since the first season. I think Dexter has, the show has created something that you didn't have. It's created something that really is even separate from the books. It's something of its own and that people really do react to and enjoy. And I'm certainly one of those people. Last night, some good and some bad. And let me start with the good. Very glad to have it back. I do love this show. I think the strongest dynamic on the show is and has always been Dexter and Deb. And so for them to now be at this point indicates to me the status quo of the show's got to change, which is a good thing. I think the show hit its peak, the Trinity Killer year with John Lithgow. It was just fantastic. I thought everything that season just singed, just burned for you right up to the giant ending where, of course, Rita was killed. I thought it was a great year. The last two seasons, not so good. So it is time to change things a little bit, and that this is good. And this whole episode seemed to me to just kind of be pushing what happened at the end of last season where Deb finds him killing Travis to the point at the end of this where she goes, are you a serial killer? He says, yes. So you got to get there. Because if you didn't, you've seen this on this show before. How many times has Dexter almost been caught? How many times has someone who should know better, like Deb or another cop, seen him almost kill someone, you know, and then take two steps out of frame and then walk back in and pretend he just got there? You know, Deb had him and Lumen at gunpoint a year and a half ago at the end of season five, I believe, and she wouldn't take him in. And that's just another tease. This show does that a lot to us. So now that final scene where he comes in and Deb's gone through his house, as she would do. Let me backtrack a little bit. I thought Jennifer Carpenter played this perfectly because Deborah would want to believe Dexter. You know, her relationship with him extends far back from her relationship with the law as a cop. But the longer it goes, the more it would creep into her head. At first, she'd want to believe Dexter. You know, the thought of making it a suicide and burning the church down made sense to her, but not in the long term. She thought about it. She comes back the next day. Hey, where'd you get the rubber apron? Where'd all the knives come from? Why was he wrapped down to the table? From there, she starts thinking, and remember, she's been wrapped down to a table before back in season one with the ice truck killer. And that's a great thing, by the way. I love it when shows have enough of a history and have enough confidence that you've been watching it that they can refer back like that. Not every show will. A lot of shows, once it's over, it's done. But the smart shows reward you for paying attention. And back in season one, Deb was on the kill table for the ice truck killer, who, of course, was Dexter's brother. And he was doing it sort of as an homage to Dexter because that's how Dexter did it. Deb was on that table. Now she thinks he's doing it because the ice truck killer did it. When really it was the other way around. But she does remember it. And the more she thinks about it, the more she remembers. And she goes and she looks up the evidence from that case. And then finally she just decides she's going to go over to Dexter's and tear the place apart and finds everything. Everything, the blood slides, the hand, the knives, everything that he had that he shouldn't have was on that table. And she's sitting there. And I think you had to have that because, as I said, they've gotten close to that point many times before where somebody's about to find out. And they always leave a loophole. There could be no loophole at that point. Are you a serial killer? Yeah. Boom. And the show has to change. And that's a good thing because, as I said, it's getting a little bit stale. Let's move on to the next stage. And that changes every relationship. I mean, it changes the relationships between the two of them. I hope this clearly ends the incestuous kind of thing that was going on last season with Deb and the fantasies. Made me completely uncomfortable. I can't imagine it was pleasant for Michael C. Hall and Jennifer Carpenter to play either, since they were married in real life and are now divorced and now have more scenes in close proximity to each other than ever before. I doubt either one of them is going to have another subplot with a boyfriend or girlfriend this year. It's just pretty much the two of them. But it's changed the status quo. Their relationship will change. Their relationship with others will change. Her relationship with her job and her duties at Miami-Dade Metro, that's going to get tweaked a little bit. It's a good change, because otherwise the show is stale. And I applaud it. I thought that was a great scene at the end, and I thought that that Jennifer Carpenter played Deb perfectly over this one. That's the good of this episode. Now, the bad kind of overwhelmed me. And by bad, there were parts of this show that honestly just felt lazy. I know that sometimes to move the plot along, you have to go with the willing suspension of disbelief. Okay? We all know that. We all do that. The thought of a serial killer working for the police with sort of a spider sense to find other killers and kill them first, you got to bite off a lot to go with that. I understand it. We've all done it. We've bought into the show. But just think about the bizarre circumstances around this show. It seems like sometimes they have a point A and a point C, and they don't give a crap what point B is. They just assume you're along for the ride. And that only works with me for so long. Let's start with Mike. Mike is on his way home. Mike introduced in the last season. It's like, we need a character to die. Nobody likes Mike. He's a cop. We can kill him. Okay. It's been done before. You know, he's a Star Trek red shirt, or however you'd like to put it. Certainly not a big deal. But they have Mike happen upon a guy fixing a tire. The guy tells him he doesn't want any help. Mike still says he'll help. Mike goes to the trunk, opens it, and finds a dead body. Okay, Mike's just going to bum rush his way to the guy's trunk and help him, even though he told him he didn't want to. You know, the guy seems to be working pretty well on the tire already. And even so, if you were the guy on the ground fixing the tire, wouldn't you have closed the trunk and locked it on your way out and taken the key with you, since there's a dead body in it? No, you wouldn't. It's just a lazy setup that results in a character getting killed. You know, they wanted Mike to call Deb and then get killed so they have a place to go with the plot, and point B, they didn't care about. From there, Dexter's the only cop in Miami-Dade Metro who knows to take a thumbprint off the turn signal. He's the only one that thinks of this. He looks him up. He finds him. He goes to Victor's apartment, breaks in. Victor has gone but left everything he owns, including his unpassword-protected laptop, behind. That doesn't raise any eyebrows. Okay, pop open the laptop. His last site that he was at was the one where he bought his tickets. Okay, Dexter goes to the airport. On the way there, he finds out that his credit cards aren't working because Lewis, the crazy intern, we learn later, has turned all of them off. Because I love the Lewis character, by the way. I love that he's creepy, and we don't know if he's dangerous yet or just really weird. And Dexter doesn't like him, but he's not a killer, so Dexter doesn't have that spider sense thing going on where he knows he has to kill him. He may just be weird and creepy, so which isn't a crime yet, but we'll see. Anyway, Dexter doesn't even stop to think about why his credit cards are canceled, because he has his go bag, his drop bag in the trunk with lots of cash and a passport and everything else. And so, boom, he's just got it right there. Another bizarre circumstance. Gets to the airport, buys the ticket, goes through security with needles, and nobody stops and makes him show the prescription for the needles. I'm not sure if he has one or not. They didn't even ask to see it, so... Then you're at an international airport. There's more than one flight. Dexter quickly spots the one guy that he needs, even though he's only seen one picture of him. Follows him into the bathroom, which is empty. If you've ever been in an airport bathroom, I can't imagine a time, day or night, that they're empty. Finds the guy, drugs him, drops him into the wheelchair that was provided for him, takes him up, finds a place where... the baggage is being held and nobody's going to be there. It's closed for like 9 hours. So Dexter picks the lock, goes in, straps the guy down, kills him, puts the body in a surfboard carrying case, takes him out, and goes to dump him. That is just too many coincidental things to occur. And it honestly makes me feel like they think we're stupid. It's just too much. I can go ahead and willingly suspend my disbelief of some things. Some things have got to go. You know, logically, you've got to approve some things for the plot to move. I get that. I'm a fan of that. It happens in every single show. But that's just too much, man. That's just lazy writing. That's a point A to point C with no point B in the middle. Dexter's got to kill a guy. Well, how's he killing? Well, he just goes to the airport. Okay, I don't think anything in that scenario would have worked. Okay, I don't think you get past security with the needles. I don't think there's a place where you can, you know, torture some guy and kill him and then zip him up and take him out of there. I don't think any of that makes any sense whatsoever. And when that many bad things occur, you know, writing wise in a row, I feel dumb. I just feel like they're, you know, they just want me to eat a cookie and shut up. You know, the rest of the show was great. The dynamic between Dexter and Deb, fantastic. The stuff in the middle just seems like filler. I mean, the relationship between Quinn and Angel. All last season, Quinn was a staggering drunk. Couldn't get him to show up for anything. Couldn't get him to show up for the day's work, where Angel found the Doomsday Killer, got ambushed, almost got killed, then almost got burned to death before he was rescued. And now we find out, well, I wasn't really going to turn you in. Well, I didn't really call my union rep. Well, you're right back where you were. We wasted an entire year's worth of subplot because this year they don't want to deal with it. The show is a great show in some ways, but the show is just spinning its wheels in others. And it's very frustrating to me. I gave it, for Examiner, I gave it a 5. I gave it an 8 for the Dexter and Deb subplots. I gave it a 2 for everything else. I mean, there's just too much stupid things going on. Too many stupid things going on this show that I can no longer buy for me to keep saying it's a great show. It is a very good show in ways, but I'm very frustrated with how they're setting everything else up. But hey, it's the first episode. This one looks like it's going to have international flavor. I guess there's good money in being a blood splatter analyst, since he paid, what, $1,200 for a ticket just to kill a guy, you know, just to get his mojo back. And again, I love the wherever they're going with Lewis the creepy intern. I'm sure that'll just simmer for the next, you know, next 2 months. But I love that he's harassing Dexter and Dexter doesn't know it and doesn't know why. That I love. The rest of it, I don't know how they're going to clear Dokes. I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't know if as a department you'd rather clear a guy who was convicted of being the Bay Harbor Butcher 5 years ago and then admit the Bay Harbor Butcher is still out there and was at a crime scene yesterday. I don't know which is better for that. It just seems like something that even cops would let lie after that long, since the case is closed. But I don't know. I am still optimistic about the show. Like I said, I love the show, and I've enjoyed the show every season, some better than others. This one, love the Dexter Deb subplot. Can't wait to see where they go with it. The rest of them, I hope they don't just spin their wheels. But that is a quick podcast on Dexter. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Reed Kerr. Thank you for tuning in, whether you found me at examiner.com or at my own website over at readaboutit.com, readaboutit.com. Drop by. We're updated several times a week. I've got all sorts of random humor podcasts, that sort of thing up, TV and pop culture related. In fact, on readaboutit.com, you can find my semi-thrilling review of the Def Leppard Poison Lita Ford concert I went to a little while back, plus my day and night on the Warped Tour, which I am far too old to actually go to and enjoy, but I went anyway. So that's up at readaboutit.com, so you can check that out over there. Thanks again for tuning in here on readaboutit.com and Examiner. If you'd like more from Examiner, you can subscribe over there. Hit the subscribe button at the bottom. You'll get emails whenever my column is updated. And until next time, thanks for listening, everybody. Reed Carr here. So long.